Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Elena. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thank you for inviting me to be part of this podcast.
I am so excited to chat with you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Russian. I'm an immigrant. English is my second language. My first language is Russian. I was born and raised in Leningrad, which is now St. Petersburg, Russia, which is a gorgeous city. I moved to the US alone to join my husband here. I left my mother and my older sisters behind. And all I brought here with me was a 40-pound suitcase with what used to be my life, my Russian life. And I wrote a memoir. My first memoir was about that Russian life, life behind the Iron Curtain in the Soviet Union. It was called The Mountain of Crumbs. And in the second memoir, Russian Tattoo, I described my life in the United States, the life of an immigrant, just a recent immigrant who didn't know anything about the US or its culture or its people. And it was really, it's really about culture shock. I came here from literally behind the Iron Curtain, so I knew nothing about this country. I knew nothing about its people, about its culture, about anything, basically. We were cut off all information. So in the second memoir, it's about this silly mistakes of not knowing what to do, what to expect, what to say, not knowing anything about the culture. And it took me a long time to get over this culture shock, but eventually I adapted, and now I feel much more comfortable about my life here, and I'm not as afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I imagine this is such a culture shock coming from the Soviet Union to coming to America and then seeing like, and the expectations that you should know it all, you know? Oh, there's like, there's an expectation that everyone should know English. Like, it's like so weird. I come from Puerto Rico, and so it's a colonized, it's a colony, it's a US colony. And so, but we speak Spanish, and the expectation is like, the Americans come in and they're like, you should speak English. And you're like, well, you know, we're just a colony, you know? we don't have to, like, but there's a lot of expectations are, you know, there's an immigrant there that can be a culture shock to, you know, to make.
Absolutely,
you know?
absolutely.
Yeah. So let's chat about Train to Moscow. Tell us a little about it.
Well, it's my first novel. So after the two memoirs where I exposed nearly every detail of my life, I turned to fiction. And this is a novel that is set in Russia, behind the Iron Curtain, during and after World War II. It is about a rebellious girl from the provinces who strives to become an actress against her family wishes. And in that journey, she must battle oppressive politics of the Communist Party, an enigmatic lover turned political censor of her work, and the buried secrets of her own family. So it's really about the conflict between the truth of art and the official deluge of lies that all Russians, including me and my family, had to live with. But it is truly a love story. It is a love for a man, for the arts, a love for truth. And just to, it's really, I realize now it's a historical novel, it turned out to be. I obviously didn't live through World War II or its aftermath. So I mined my family history, including my older sister's acting career. She was a prominent actress in Leningrad, now St. Petersburg. And also the history, the stories of my two uncles who I never met because they were drafted into battle during World War II and they were killed. They never came back. Mm-hmm. But they were my mother's brothers. I just want to mention this, that World War II in Russia is known as the Great Patriotic War. Ooh. And this is the statistic that I just learned myself recently.
Yeah.
One out of every seven Russians was killed by the enemy during the war.
Gosh.
So because of this immense loss of life, the war was and still is the glue that has held the country together. And there is no family in Russia, none, who didn't lose someone in the war. And my family was no exception. So I took, you know, a lot of this family history and based some characters and some plot developments on them.
So did you plot this book or did you pants your way? Did you uncover, did you have an outline beforehand or did you uncover as you were writing the story, just uncover itself?
Yeah, you know, I tried to make an outline. I'm sort of a very, I think of myself as an organized person and meticulous. Yeah. In some ways. So I made an outline, but of course, as the story went on, as I wrote parts of the story, things changed and the characters asserted themselves and things happened that I didn't know would happen. So it changed over time as I was writing it. And I don't know, obviously I don't know other people's processes, writing processes, but I think that's what happens a lot in writing, especially in writing fiction. Mm-hmm. Because when you create a character, he or she sort of takes off and they do their own things, these people on the page. So it was a fascinating, if frustrating, it was also a frustrating process, but hugely rewarding. So at the end, I felt for these people, and I wrote them, and I wrote what happened to them. But they also sort of wrote their own story in a way.
Yeah, I love the fact that sometimes writers uncover the characters, and sometimes the writer wants the character to do something, and the character tells you, no, I'm not doing that, you know, like you cannot pigeonhole me or you cannot make me do this or tell me to say something that it's not in my character, you know.
Exactly. And they assert themselves or you know, when you reread it, when you go back and to revise, edit, you realize that this is false. This is what you wrote for this character. The words that you put in his or her mouth are false. Mm-hmm. And you have to think of something else and rewrite it.
I love this. And so tell us about a book that sparked joy for you over the past year or so, you know.
Well, it is a book that was just published. It's called Our Country Friends by Gary Steingart. It is a pandemic novel, and I'll tell you in a minute why it sparked joy. It is about the pandemic. It is set during this pandemic I'm still back.
Well, 1920, we had the influenza, or 1918.
That's true. Yes.
So we had a pandemic during that time. So it's okay. 100 years ago, we had a pandemic.
Oh,
so
God.
2020, we just got 2020.
So it's set in the spring of 2020 when we went into lockdown, and it is it's a comic and sad story. It's a tragic comedy. It has idiosyncratic characters. It's about eight friends who are quarantined or who quarantine themselves in this sort of estate in the Hudson Valley that belongs to one of these people. And the main character, whose estate it is a Russian. So it's Just like the author, by the way, Gary Steingart came to this country when he was a child, when he was about 7 or 8. And so did this character, the protagonist of the book. He's married to another ex-Russian who came as a child, came to this country as a child. And there are 8 friends who, can you imagine, they're just cloistered in this estate and they are isolated. And of course, things happen. There are affairs, there is falling in love, there is betrayal. Mm-hmm. But the reason I think it will spark joy in any reader is that it gives hope. Mm-hmm. And in this, especially hope in these challenging times, it sort of says we're going through the dark period now, but light will return. Mm-hmm. Light will return if we reach for love and if we reach for art. Mm-hmm. So it is really, it's funny, it's sweet, it's entertaining, and it's a perfect novel for these times.
I may pick it up. It's a weird thing. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for pandemic reading, but at the same time, I'm like, well, you know, it was like a weird time. So, you know, and I think it's interesting because we're sort of going back. What it feels like going backwards now, like in the season, it's just like, I don't know. You intrigued me with the pandemic book, you know.
It's very funny. The Gary Steingart is a master of this sort of tragic comedy, and it's very funny. It's ironic. It has a lot of allusions to Russian writers and to writers in general, to writing. And it's things happen so quickly there, and yet there is such depth in what's happening that you really feel, you know, I'm a visual person, so I go back and reread what I just read because it's so rich with allusions and with these themes. You know, it's very multi-layered.
Oh, I love this. I love this recommendation. You know, I'm like someone who's like, okay, I think it might be a good book to pick up. You know, and it sparked joy for you. So I feel like it can spark joy for me. So are you a reader? What kind of books do you read?
Well, I am a reader. But, you know, I was raised in Russia, and we were raised on Russian classics, obviously. Mm-hmm. We read novels of Tolstoy and Dostoevsky. We read Crime and Punishment in 9th grade, for example. And Chekhov stories, of course. And there was a lot of poetry that was in the curriculum. And not only did we read poetry, we were told, we had to memorize it. We mm-hmm. memorized poetry. And we had to recite it in front of the class. Mm-hmm. And this sort of reciting poetry brought out rhythms and, mm-hmm. You know, and the sound, the melody, the melodic part, mm-hmm. and also the rhyme, because all Russian poems of that period, at least, mm-hmm. rhymed. Mm-hmm. And Russian poems of the classic poets, they all rhymed. So it was really it was didactic on the one hand, you know, this education, but on the other hand, it was beautiful, and it really taught me to appreciate poetry, and I love poetry. I read a lot of poetry now. A lot of novels, stories, and poems.
I love this. Yeah, I grew up with part of my secondary education, we did read poetry. We had to do, like, say it out loud, and so what we had was a lot of African culture, African roots, and they're very, like, melodic, they're very musical, they're very, like, engaging in a sense of, like, this is who you are, you know, and so it just brought that memory for me, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, it's interesting, like, we're separate, completely different cultures, and yet some of our education may look very, very similar, you know?
Yeah, that is amazing. Sort of similar experiences, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like not the American experience, you know?
No. I know that because my daughter went through the American schools and she didn't learn one poem.
Yeah, we did. We read a lot of Spanish classics, like all the Spanish, like major Spanish books, like those were the ones we read, you know. And then we read some Shakespeare and some stuff, like, because we had some bilingual education, but the most part was Spanish classics that I grew up with. And so I love that you grew up with the Russian classics, you know, and that was part of the curriculum, you know, that was expectation. Tell us some books that you recommend for us, for our listeners to pick up.
Well, I have three recommendations, and I guess they're all historical novels, maybe because that's what I wrote. But the first one is a book that is close to my heart. It's called The Secrets We Kept. It's by Laura Prescott. And it is close to my heart because half of the novel takes place in Russia. suspenseful novel. It's about the CIA project in the 1950s to obtain, type, and surreptitiously distribute in Soviet Russia the novel Dr. Zhivago. Mm-hmm. Because Dr. Zhivago was written in 1957, and the author, Boris Pasternak, got the Nobel Prize, but he could not receive the Nobel Prize, and the book was banned in Russia because it was considered anti-Soviet. And it was not published until 1988, if you can imagine that.
Really? Oh my gosh, this is crazy. But it's like, so it's almost closer to the end of the Soviet Union. So there's probably, we're like lifting at that time, probably lifting some of the restrictions.
Exactly. It was the time of Gorbachev and Perestroika, when censorship was loosened and, mm-hmm. and, you know, there were more freedoms. So it was only published then. And this is half of the novel is about that. So it's set in Russia. The part that is set in Russia, it is about the legendary love story between Pasternak and his mistress, Olga, who was the prototype for Lara in Dr. Zhivago. And the prototype for Lara, and she actually went to Gulag for him twice.
She
survived it, but because she was associated with Pasternak, she was arrested and she spent time in the camps in Gulag. And the other half of the book takes place in the U.S., in the CIA projects, and it is, and the characters are CIA typists and spies, and among them are two women and their love story that is as forbidden as the love story between Pasternak and Lara. And it's very authentic. The scenes in Russia are very authentic. And the espionage schemes are very suspenseful. But ultimately, it's a novel about love and what we would sacrifice for love. So that's my first one, my first recommendation. And then the second one is also a historical novel, and it's by Kate Quinn, who I think is an unparalleled master of historical fiction.
Yeah.
So this is, it's called The Rose Code, and it is about three women who break, who are code breakers during World War II. It takes place in Britain, and they all three answer a mysterious call to an estate where they are trained to break enemy codes. Mm-hmm. And they're very different, of course, the three women to three different characters. Then something happens and their friendship falls apart. And in 1947, they reunite, they're back, reunited by an encrypted letter. And the letter holds the key, revealing this long ago betrayal that contributed to this this friendship that fell apart. And actually confined one of the three women to an asylum. So they bring, they get together again, and with a lot of page-turning adventure, as Kate Quinn always has in her novels, they decode the messages that are needed to identify the traitor. So it's really, it's a beautiful story, but it's pulse accelerating, and it will leave you breathless.
Oh, gosh.
And I have to, speaking of Kate Quinn, she has a book that will come out early in 2022. I can't say anything about it, except that you should look for it. It's called The Diamond Eye, and it is about a Russian young woman who becomes a sniper during World War II. It's just fascinating. And the third book that I would like to recommend is also a historical novel by Susan Meisner. Mm-hmm. It's called The Nature of Fragile Things. It's set in 1905 in San Francisco. And the main character, Sophie, is a young Irish immigrant who is desperate to get out of the Lower East Side, out of the tenement, so desperate that she answers a mail order bride ad. So she moves to San Francisco, she marries this person, and needless to say that the man has secrets. Mm-hmm. So that then the stranger comes to her door, and it precipitates a whole transformative chain of events. And then a devastating earthquake happens, the earthquake of 1906. It's a psychological thriller, this book. It is suspenseful, and it is about the strength and solidarity of women, mm-hmm. and especially women in crisis. And it is about the tenacity of spirit. But above all, it's a very tender book.
Oh, I love these recommendations. So I read The Huntress by Kate Quinn, and I love that one. And so, and I talked to Kate for when she was promoting The Rose Code, and I was like, I need to read this book. And so it's just like pandemic reading has been.
Yeah. Read it. And read the new one when it comes out.
Yes.
It should be fascinating.
Yes. And The Circus We Keep, I've had that on my TBR for forever. So you're just like adding, like, put those in the top priority to read them. So this is great. Thank you, Elena.
Thank you.
So tell us where you can find you online.
I have a website. It's my name. If you Google my name, Elena Gorokova. So it's elenagorokova.com. And it has the latest novel, A Train to Moscow, with all the, you know, information about it. And I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. And I guess I'm too old for TikTok.
It is okay. I am learning TikTok myself, and it's just a whole brand new world. So it is all good. So thank you, Elena, for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more, or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.